This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Her Vantage, and this is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. Turtle Conservation Society of Malaysia, or TCS, is the first not-for-profit organization in Malaysia dedicated to restoring depleted wild turtle populations of freshwater turtles in the country. This is done through research, conservation, rehabilitation, education, and public outreach. It was started in 2011 by Dr. Chen Pelfnyok, who has had a lifetime love for turtles and terrapins. And you know, Pelf, it's so good to be speaking to you again. I first spoke to you in 2011 when you started TCS, right?
Like, what, 10 years ago?
Right. So, yeah. So we'll talk about your milestones in the last 9 years, but first a recap of how you started.
Right. I didn't start this organization by myself. Mm. I had my former professor, there were two of us, co-founders of TCS. Mm. We really started both of us without having much knowledge about what setting up a non-profit organization was all about. Yeah. We just dive head in. So we registered ourselves, the society, we opened a bank account, we started looking for grants and fundings. Yeah. Well, I guess it helped that my former professor was a very well-known sea turtle researcher. Mm. So I was like riding on her fame, lah.
Okay.
So she was already well-known, so people were already donating to our cause. So that really helped in the earlier stages when we were just starting out, when we needed some money to get things going.
Right. And the reason you also started this, or you piggybacked on this, was is there not enough societies or associations that are doing work around turtles? Or is it more like the sea turtles and then the freshwater turtles, there's a difference?
Right. You're right that sea turtles and freshwater turtles are different. Mm. And one of the main objectives of us setting up TCS is because we wanted to fill this gap. So we have numerous organizations, universities, agencies, government departments that are helping save sea turtles. Mm. But for freshwater turtles, we only had Perhelitan, the Department of Wildlife and National Parks. That was before TCS was established. And we all know Perhelitan had their hands full. They are the ones who are taking care of the more larger charismatic mammals, elephants, tigers. And oftentimes, these river terrapins, freshwater turtles, were overlooked. Because you don't see them. I don't blame anybody.
Right.
It's because we don't see them. We don't know they existed because tak kenal maka tak cinta, right?
Mm.
So we set up TCS to fill this gap, to work with Perhelitan, and at the same time to try to recover the population of river terrapins in the rivers.
Okay, I want to understand a little bit. I'm sure I'll ask you that later. But okay, we'll talk a little bit how you have a bachelor's degree in marine biology, a master's in biodiversity and conservation, and a PhD in zoology. Now, why are all these qualifications important? They are interrelated, and I guess it builds up. But why are these qualifications important?
Well, these qualifications are really like little milestones. At every stage of one's life, or like in my life, I learn different skill sets. Right, so when I was doing my bachelor's degree in marine biology, that was when I had formal education on conservation, on marine wildlife, including sea turtles, and management of resources, management of natural resources. So, and when I went on to do my master's, it was a little more niche. Yeah. I started working on raising river terrapins in captivity and running experiments to ensure that they are they grow up fast, they eat the right food, right amount of food to avoid a food wastage.
Right.
And the results of these experiments that I conducted in my master's, they are now used by head starting facilities in Malaysia.
Right.
Including the ones run by the Department of Wildlife and National Parks. Because we raised these terrapins in captivity for perhaps a year or two, so to give them a head start before we release them into the river. So we want to ensure that proper husbandry, sufficient food, clean water. So these were some of the experiments that I conducted, lah.
Right. And of course, I know this was the 800 river terrapins that you helped you raise, right? Okay.
Right, yeah.
I wanted to ask as well, right? When we talk about, okay, the sea turtles, we have the photos and all that, and the river terrapins, how is that part of the ecosystem? What happens when they disappear? You know, I mean, we know when I think people need to see that picture, right? You say you want to save a terrapin,
right.
But what does it mean for all of us?
Right. Yeah. Well, first of all, in terms of ecology, these river terrapins, they are seed dispersals, meaning they feed on mangrove shoots, leaves, fruits, and when they defecate, the seeds come out, right?
Mm.
And these seeds get planted by themselves. So that saves you and I a lot of time going into the river planting mangrove fruits, mangrove trees, right? And we all already know the importance of mangrove trees, right? They serve as a nursery for smaller fishes,
right.
And mangrove trees that are on our coastal areas, they also help prevent erosion and also filter some of this sea spray that comes in during the monsoon, protects your home, your properties.
Right.
But in terms of tourism, we all know people like to go on sea turtle watching trips, you know. River terrapins are also like that, provided we provide guest tourists proper channel to do this. We are actually also trying to use river terrapins as an icon in the state of Terengganu to bring in tourists. Because a lot of tourists these days, they are not just, you know, people who go to zoos to see animals.
Yes.
They want to learn more in-depth about the work that you do, why you're doing this, how are my tourist dollars helping the local communities or helping the local wildlife. So we are opening up a channel to do that, to cater to these tourists who want to learn more about the wildlife they are looking at. Not just reading signages on in a zoo like that.
Okay. You know, in your area of work as well, do you see a lot of women?
In my area of work would be the women I see would be the interns and my assistant who work with me.
Okay.
But yes, in sea turtle conservation, we do find a lot of women getting into this field. And I guess that's also because you know, we women, when our motherly instincts kick in, we take care of not just the wildlife, but also the people who are working with us. Regardless of whether they are interns or rangers, we put more emotions into our work. We build relationships. We build connections before going, you know, diving straight in, you know, let's talk about total conservation. People don't do that these days.
Right.
Yeah.
So when you were doing your bachelor's degree in marine biology, when you look at that class then, was it 50-50 men and women?
No. 20 of us, I think we had like 5 boys.
Oh, so it was more women?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
In 2008, you became the first Malaysian to be awarded a 4-month turtle conservation scholarship from the Asian Scholarship Program for Institute Chelonian Conservation to the US, right? Tell me about that experience. You still remember?
Yes, definitely. So that was the first time I traveled so far to the US by myself. I applied for this scholarship, and I do not know how many other people applied, but I was selected as the recipient for that year. Everything was paid for, including flight tickets, including visas and whatnot, accommodation throughout the 4 months. That was when I had my first experience seeing how other people do freshwater turtle conservation projects in their country, in their locality. And the United States, they have a lot of turtles. Turtle biodiversity is very high, and they have a lot of researchers working on saving, protecting, conserving various species of freshwater turtles. So I had the opportunity to tag onto these projects to see how other researchers do their work. So that was an eye-opening experience for me.
And you were also awarded by Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II the Commonwealth Point of Light. When was that?
That was 2 years ago.
Okay.
Right. So I was nominated for this award. I didn't know about it until I received the email from the British High Commissioner's Office.
Right.
I thought it was scam, you know. We received a lot of such spammy emails, right? So I just put it aside until somebody from the office actually called me one day, and I was like, huh? It wasn't a spam. So So, yeah, I was nominated for it, and I was told that there were a lot of other nominations. Mm-hmm. And I was also informed that the Queen herself picked the winners.
Wow.
Not so sure about that, but okay. If it was true, wow. Wow.
She knows your and name.
Right. And the former British High Commissioner yes. to Malaysia.
Her Excellency Vicky. Vicky.
Yeah, right. Yes, Vicky. She actually came down to Kemaman 2 years ago to present me with the certificate.
Wow. Okay.
So that was very meaningful because this project started in the kampung in Kemaman with the local villagers. And I rallied the local villagers to help us with terrapin conservation work, which we, of course, you know, have expanded. Mm-hmm. So it made so much more sense for the certificate to be presented here in the kampung where the work was started.
Okay.
Rather than in a high-rise building somewhere in KL.
All right. Okay, so we're going to talk about some of the milestones in the last 9 years and how do you measure milestones in just a moment. Dr. Chen Phelph Nyok from the Turtle Conservation Society of Malaysia. You're listening to Her Vantage, BFM 89.9.
Beating fickle mindsets. BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Her Vantage. Good morning, Frida Liu here. I'm here with Dr. Chen Phelph Nyok, who's from the Turtle Conservation Society of Malaysia, a TCS. And I spoke to her 9 years ago. And, you know, a lot has happened since you started, you started TCS. What have been some of the milestones for you in the last 9 years?
Milestones? First of all, I would say that I established this group of community in the kampung who until today are still helping us save river terrapins. Mm. They call themselves the Terrapin Guardians.
Okay.
So when I walked into the kampung, I didn't know anybody. I stood out like a store thumb because I'm not a Muslim, I'm not a local, I'm a woman, and treaded very carefully. But thank goodness, some of the men that we started working with, they are still with us today.
Right, how did you get their buy-in? You know what I mean?
I started by telling them that this was a non-profit organization and there wasn't a lot of money to throw around. So I guess I started with managing each other's expectations.
Mm.
If you wanted to get onto this conservation project, let's do it together.
Mm.
But we will, of course, get your time compensated. You know, whatever things we ask you to do or help out in the kampung, we definitely find resources or funds to cover your expenses.
Right.
So that was when they realized that I wasn't taking them on the ride.
Mm.
And persistence. You cannot just go into a kampung, get the local men to collect these terrapin eggs, repeat this conservation for 2 years and then leave.
And they see the importance of why we're doing this. I mean, of how...
Slowly.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, you know, if we don't do this, what does it mean? You know, if we do this, what does it mean? The, you know, because we talk about, I don't know, the turtle eggs that we consume, is that the same case as well for terrapins? Or is it just sea turtles?
Okay, that didn't happen until years later.
Right.
Because when the communities are D40, I usually don't use these words to classify people.
Right.
When the local communities are around D40 groups, we care more about whether we are able to put food on the table.
Right.
Not so much about species conservation.
Mm, exactly.
Right. Uh-huh. So when we started, I did not go straight into, you should help save these terrapins because they are planting or mangroves. They'll be like, what?
Who cares, right?
Right? Who cares? Who cares? So we work out an arrangement with the local villagers where we compensate them for every egg that they brought in to our conservation project.
Mm.
And of course, they don't just bring in one or two eggs every time,
right?
Because the terrapins lay between 25 to 35 eggs each time.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a significant number of eggs in their hands, so to speak.
Mm.
Yeah, but if they choose to send the eggs to us, we compensate them for their time spending they spend in the riverbank throughout the whole night and their work in collecting these terrapin eggs. And when we do this repeatedly for not just 2 or 3 years, you know, up to 5, 7, 9 years, I guess other people start to see that, oh, this person is not just like a sahaja, he's doing it. I guess it takes time.
Right.
And even right now, I wouldn't say that they are all, everybody in the kampung is on board with us in our conservation program. But we are slowly trying to show them for as long as the river terrapins are alive and thriving or are found in the river, we will have tourists. We will have annual releases where VIPs
Tulu
Padang,
right,
and we have these other things.
So when they have tourists, it affects their lifestyle as well, right? Because they're able to provide services. So it's the of course, you know, it's something that has to be done over years. It's not overnight, right? Yeah.
Yes. Over decades.
You know, and obviously the number of turtles have increased.
Okay, this is another question that people ask us that we do not have concrete answers to, because the terrapins, like sea turtles, they take about 20 years to attain sexual maturity, which means they take 20 years to become mature to be able to lay eggs.
So I have to interview you in another 11 years.
Yes, please.
to get a report on this. Okay.
Right. Hopefully by then we have good news for you.
Okay. So it's just doing the work and just trusting the process that will happen, right?
And
do you find that, I guess, people are more environmentally aware and conscious? I mean, you know, just overall, in the 9 years that you've been doing this, whether it's in Kemaman or whether, you know, it's people coming to TCS to visit, do you see that happening more?
Yes, definitely. Yes, definitely. On social media, I'm seeing a lot of awareness. And of course, you know, the recent MCO help, because we couldn't do other things except for, you know, being on social media and churning out awareness posters and whatnot.
Right.
But in recent years, I have really seen, especially young people stepping up and wanting to do something for the environment. It doesn't matter whether it's still conservation or not, but a lot of people are stepping up to do good work, to do good things.
Right.
So then we feel like, So I wouldn't take credit for it, but I'm really happy to see how the younger generation is getting on board, so we don't feel like we are fighting this battle ourselves.
Right. Okay. And you know, I'm going to sidetrack a bit. So the river terrapins, are they in most rivers in Malaysia, or is it just largely in Terengganu?
Well, the river terrapins, unlike sea turtles, they are found in only 3 countries in the whole world.
Right.
3. Yeah, and these 3 include Thailand, Cambodia, and Peninsular Malaysia.
Right.
Well, that's 2.5 Malaysia.
Right.
And they are not found on Borneo Island.
Oh.
On Peninsular Malaysia, they are naturally found in Kedah, in Perak, and in Terengganu. Only these 3 states. Yeah, 3 years ago, I did a survey in large rivers in Pahang, in the state of Pahang. We didn't find any. We spoke to local villagers, but we didn't find any.
So, okay. Now, you also sell products and conduct tours. Is that one way? Is that one way you're raising funds?
Yes. You know, we don't have a godfather, so to speak. We do not have a corporate funder sponsor who makes a monthly donation to us.
Right.
So all our expenses, we have to raise ourselves. And I am constantly thinking about ways to bring in more funds so that we can do more work. So when people ask me, what do you need? Depending on who they are, sometimes I get really honest with them and tell them that we need money. Because with money, then we can spend it whenever it is needed. If you send your company staff, all 40 of them, plant 40 trees, and then, you know, take a group picture and go back, that's not very helpful to us in the sustainability of the organization or in the work that we do. So, yeah, these products that you see on our TCS website, we have developed them over the years, and, we are hoping to have some products that we can sell to raise funds instead of just asking for donations.
Right.
So we don't want to keep asking for donations. Right. You know, I don't want to lose friends that way.
Yeah.
But so what about instead of giving me a 50 ringgit donation, what about you buy something from the shop?
Which I did. I bought the face mask and the bag, right? And it was like very cute because it's very pretty and it's got turtles on it. So I was like, oh, nice, right? And it's a fashion statement, right?
Bye.
Yes,
thank you. So when you buy something from our shop, you don't just contribute to TCS.
Right.
You are actually also contributing to the local women in the kampong. So you're actually also empowering them to earn an income themselves.
So, are you guys working with the government in any way?
We work closely with the Department of Wildlife and National Parks.
Mm-hmm.
We need a special permit to do this work because the river terrapins is considered a totally protected species under the Wildlife Conservation Act. So we need a special permit HAS. We work with them. We invite them to our annual releases. If the terrapins have any problems, we consult them. If they have veterinarians, then they may send them over to us. But that's it lah.
Okay. I want to ask, you brought this up, but I really want a clear answer. How can corporations and individuals help TCS? So, you know, a call to action. What can we do?
Right, yes. To be very honest, we need funding, sustainable funding.
Okay.
If any corporations find that the work that we are doing, currently doing, are worth your money, please consider adopting TCS, consider supporting TCS on a monthly basis. And of course, we welcome your staff as well, but we won't just plant trees for the sake of planting trees and taking a group photo.
Right.
We'll take your staff on a turtle discovery trip.
Right.
We'll teach you about turtles, we share with you what we have learned so far, how we do these things with the local villagers, so that you all go back home, back to KL, with more knowledge and know-how, and you can then further help us think of ways to raise funds.
Right.
Because if you just come and do this tree planting and you do not know why we are doing this and how we are involving the local villagers, you don't get an idea, right? You don't get a clearer picture. So what we want to do now is to equip our guests with knowledge so that you can go back and help us spread awareness. You know, even if your friends don't donate or don't buy anything, it doesn't matter.
Right.
But help us spread awareness. Talk about freshwater turtles because they're not very well known.
Right. Not as glamorous as the sea ones.
Correct.
Right.
Not as glamorous, not as fancy, not as sexy.
Yeah. Unless you buy the face mask and all that. So that's quite cute.
Oh yes.
And also, so we were just talking about a mutual friend of ours who actually, bought 100 turtles, but donated adopted 100 turtles, right? And, and you know, something like that. And he was going to name all his clients and me, a turtle after me. Right? So little things like that can be very fun and meaningful that corporations can do as well.
Correct, yes. Yeah. And when corporations adopt a terrapin, we actually don't make money out of this because each terrapin adoption is 35 ringgit, right? Five ringgit goes to the local villagers who sends us the eggs as an incentive to them, as a compensation. And the other 30 ringgit actually goes to purchasing a microchip. The microchip that we insert into the terrapin before we release it.
Okay.
So each terrapin now has an identification, like an IC. You know, our IC.
Right.
Yeah. So whenever we find them dead or alive, or you know, after 20 years when they're all grown up and coming back to lay eggs, all we need to do is just scan them to find out who they are, what year they hatch.
Okay. So it's 35 ringgit one-off?
Yes, 35 ringgit one-off.
Okay, so you can. So that's a great idea.
And we find that even children are donating their ang pao money to us. Even children are donating their birthday ang pao money to us because they can do it. If we put our adoption at 100 or 288 ringgit, so that appeals to only people who can afford it, right? But we price it at 35 so that everybody can do good.
All right. Uh-huh. Well, thank you. Thank you for the wonderful work that you're doing there. And is there, when I say terrapins, there is a difference between terrapins and turtles?
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
So turtles is a general term.
Ah, okay.
So all terrapins are turtles.
Okay.
All turtles are turtles.
I learned.
All polyphers are turtles because it is general term.
Ah.
But when I say terrapin, what I mean is freshwater turtles.
Oh.
When I say sea turtles, what I mean is those turtles that live in the sea, the marine ones.
Right. Okay.
When I say tortoises, those are the ones that are found on higher elevation when you go hiking, trekking,
right,
on hills. Yeah, those are the kura kura.
I see. There you go. So again, there are many ways that we can support this. You know, it's been fascinating just talking about this and what's happened in the last 9 years. I've been speaking to Dr. Chen Palfnyok from the Turtle Conservation Society of Malaysia. You've been listening to Her Vantage, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.